offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. This is a series where we study Swami's discourses, and we are giving special focus to the 1990 Samukos series. And every time we invite a guest to our studios, we are only overwhelmed by how much this series of discourses has impacted their life. We had Rangarajan sir for the last episode, the last discourse in fact, and he was telling how this was such a turning point in his life and his journey to Swami. Today we are glad to have with us another guest, another person who is a great inspiration for all of us as we were students of Swami's university. And he too has this set of discourses, the 1990 Samukos series, as one of his milestones in his journey to Swami. So it is with great pleasure and gratitude to Swami, we are glad to tell you that we have with us Bhagya sir. He is an honorary assistant professor at the Department of Management Studies in the university, and he's been here for close to 3 decades, and we are sure that he's going to add rich value to this program. Sir, we welcome you heartily to our program.
Thank you.
And as always, I have Sai Prakash with me to co-host the show. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem.
And sir, I think we should straight away go to you. You were telling us how important this particular series of discourses and this Samukos, in fact, was for you. I think it would be a wonderful way to start this program by sharing how, why this is such an important series for you.
It is a nice thing to recall the way I was called here. Myself, not to highlight about my past, but I have been a seeker of the truth, ultimate truth. And I had a wonderful placement outside as a chemical engineer, working in industry, India and abroad. But I was not finding contentment, fulfillment in my life. Although everything materially was given to me by His grace.
Okay.
Finally, 1986, Bhagwan gave me a signal to cut the story short because we would be dwelling more on the topic for the day rather than glorifying my past. So, 1986 onwards, Swami kept on to the promise, which internal promise with Swami was that whatever queries I have, Swami, you are going to clarify queries regarding on the spiritual path, spiritual journey.
Okay.
So what happened in 1988, after say 1.5 years or so of joining this institute as the honorary professor, so to say, that time there were no designations like this. Swami one day in an interview with my family, he asked me, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
With my pride, I told Swamiji, "I'm chemical engineer, first class, first from Bombay University."
Okay.
Swami did not allow me to complete this. And he said, "Don't waste your time, sir. Forget about your chemistry and chemical engineering. Inquire, who am I?" I said, "Inquire, who am I? Swami, I know you are God." I didn't know the meaning of who am I,
okay,
what Swami was referring to. Then, as soon as the interview was over, I came out, still dwelling on the discussion with Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
One very senior devotee, he came and told me that, "Would you be interested in one book, Teachings of Raman Maharshi, written by Paul Burton?" I was not too keen, but since senior devotee was offering to me, I just opened to satisfy him. I saw the content. In that, one of the chapter was, "Who am I?" Hey, who am I is a topic, not Swami was asking me to inquire about him. So then I said, yes, I will read this book. I went through not once, several times, and got into it, the process of self-inquiry. But it was not giving me any head and tail, because it's a very dry, very difficult subject without the help of a guru.
Mm-hmm.
And on and off, Swami used to ask me, "What is your name?" Then I said, "Swamiji, Bhagya." He said, "What's the meaning of Bhagya?"
Mm.
I said, "Swami, good fortune." He said, "Good fortune? Yes, Swamiji, I am with you. It's my good fortune."
Mm.
Again, he said, "See, you, I am always with you, in you, around you. always good fortune, why do you think that otherwise? Okay, again after some time, Bhagavan asked me, what is the meaning of Bhagya? I said, Swamiji, good fortune. He said, no. Bhagya means Bha-gya. Bha is bhakti. Gya is jnana.
Wow.
You need, it's like banks of a river. You need bhakti and jnana. And water inside the river is like a karma mag. So it will reach you the goal with bhakti and jnana. So I was thinking that I don't know what Swami is leading me to. So that way, I'll share with you. Yeah, you. I think I can see you have some question to put. Yes, Satish.
No, sir. Please continue.
Okay,
it's so beautiful. We're just enjoying the lovely interpretation of Bhagya.
Yeah. Then I was contemplating more and more on Swami has asked me to find out who am I.
Mm-hmm.
I read whatever the books available to me. Raman Maharshi, Swami's discourses, those years it were very difficult to find the discourses with this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When Swamiji started these series of discourses, Samar Shars, in now in 1990, and when he started the topic of this, I was very happy.
It must have been your first summer course also, sir.
That's right. After 86, because there was a gap of 11 years from 79 to 1990, Swami didn't have summer courses.
Summer courses.
May I share with you one or two other points before we come to this discourse?
Sure,
please. Really, it is connected with this course, and I feel the series of discourse were given to me, given for me alone. Because whatever I used to read and whatever my experiences were, Swami was narrating the same thing in the discourses. One such thing happened, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swami had given me a task of inquiring who am I used to find out, what is that, who am I? I am Bhagya, but Bhagya is my name. I am so and so, I am an engineer, engineer is my profession. I am an Indian, is the nationality. That, what is it? Swami used to repeatedly tell me, go within. And even the teachings of Raman Maharshi, you have to find out, who am I? Who am I? What do I find? How do I? Should I put my head inside my chest like Hanuman? I should tear my chest and find out who am I? So it was very difficult. Now here I tell you one very, very significant day in my life. I can consider the happiest day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening after bhajans and programs, Swami had permitted us, the professors, to continue meditation inside the mandir.
Okay.
And Swami used to occasionally come out, but my job was to close my eyes and find out who am I. I think somewhere in October 1989, Swamiji, once he was coming out with Colonel Jogara, if I recall, they wanted to discuss something and they wanted to go out. It was around 7:30 p.m. Now, I heard that Swamiji, very odd time, nobody was there in the ashram excepting me and one or two persons, those who were doing some work inside the mandir. So, I was in the veranda outside Swami's interview room and debating whether should I open my eyes or have his extra darshan or because he has given me the task of finding who am I should continue that. Otherwise, he will be, upset with me.
Mm.
But I said, okay, I'm trying to find him within. Well, let me open my eyes.
Mm.
I opened my eyes and saw him. He came, smiled at me and gave a nice, whack on my head.
Okay.
So, he went away. He took about half an hour to come back. I continued to inquire. Nothing happened. He came back. He didn't even look at me when he came back late in the night. Next day morning, that was the very special day for me. I came and sat after the morning darshan around 6:15, 6:30. I came and sat inside the bhajan hall. And again continuing with the self-inquiry job which Bhagavan had given me.
Mm-hmm.
Moment I sat,
mm-hmm.
I found mind straight got dissolved in something which I don't know, cannot say now. Then I found, hey, what is this? I was expanding myself. Not physically. I was seeing that very huge, like a transparent sphere around me. Mm-hmm. It's increasing indefinitely. And my body is small, insignificant dot in that I am. So it gave me a glimpse of, hey, now I know who am I. I'm unlimited. Everything is in me. And when I was looking around, at that time, Swami was going out to give a second round or maybe pre-bhajan darshan. Believe me, I saw even Swami as a small dot in me. And, hey, what's this? Everything is encompassed by me. With that feeling, I came out. I wanted to go to college to, take the class. When I was walking on the path, roads, the buildings, the cars, the trees, everything is me. Nothing is moving. All, even I was walking, a small body is moving in me. I say, that's fantastic. I'm everything. Everything is me. Then I sat, I don't know what happened, what would have I would have taught these students. Honestly, I don't know. In the evening, I came back again for darshan with the same feeling. Went home, wife, food, house, everything, chairs, everything is part of me. Nothing is moving. I'm not moving. Everything is in me. So, evening when I came back, darshan time, I sat. Swami came, looked at me, smiled. Everything went away. It became normal. No, it became abnormal as I was. That was the yearning he gave me to find out who am I. With that first experience, direct experience of who am I.
Beautiful, sir. Oh, amazing. Outstanding it is.
There are a few other things on the... I think let us listen to small discourse. One or two points are coming in my mind that on path of self-inquiry, what's the sadhana required, what we have to do. I had the wrong notions about the sadhana. I, with Swami's guidance from various books, I had gone through the sadhanas like Nam Simran, bhajans, or writing name of God, or singing, going around mandir or Swami's residence, and jyoti meditation, and silent sitting, and japamala. Nothing had given me any satisfaction, or to say that yes, I was progressing even an inch towards the goal. So after the discourse, or if you tell me one more experience which Swami, how he threatened me to hold on to my path rather than wandering here and there.
Actually, as you were talking of sadhana,
yeah,
and all those various different sadhanas that you went through, that's exactly what Swami spoke in the previous discourse. And Swami was saying, put all the sadhanas in a, tie them in one knot and then throw them somewhere. He's saying there's absolutely no use of these sadhanas. He was saying, you are doing sadhanas to calm the mind, to get chitta shuddhi. But then you are not the mind. You are above the mind.
Very.
So why go behind the sadhana? That's what he spoke in the previous discourse.
Oh, then it's appropriate. I can
please, sir,
what happened. Yes. It will really reinforce what Bhagwan has already said. Mind you, this was much before the series of discourses Bhagwan gave. I didn't know about that before. But during this series, things were made more clear. But prior to that, in 1989, Swami, pulled all the teachers and research scholars, which is his primary duty, because he would see only our spiritual progress. Rest all are just incidental, are just carrots, so that we get attracted towards that goal. Swami showed displeasure. He said, he stopped talking to the teachers and research scholars. We pleaded to Bhagwan, Swami, please, Swami. So finally he yielded. He came to the institute. He gave a long discourse, guiding us what we should be doing. We should do our duty towards students. Prior to that, we should do our own sadhana. Then, till then, I had always heard Swami telling in the end of discourse that Namasmaran for Kali age is the best sadhana.
Mm.
But in this discourse, I was thinking that Swami has put me on the path of self-inquiry. Let me see. I was allowed to do video shooting of that discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami looked at me and with scolding, he said, hey, sit straight, put it down. So I put the video camera down and started listening to Bhagwan. Then again Swami said that for Kali age, the best way to reach the goal is Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam. In my mind, I was so angry with Bhagwan. Swamiji, since 86, 87, you have put me on path of self-inquiry. And now you are telling that Namasmaran is the only way. That means nearly 2 years I have wasted, Bhagwan. Why did you snatch me from path of self-inquiry? I was enjoying so much. So much so that every walking, every step, I used to enjoy Sai Ram, Sai Ram. With every step, or breathing, if nothing else is there, if you're sitting calmly, best way to do Namasmaran, you can't stop breathing. So breathe in, breathe out. I used to say Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So no time was wasted. All the time I was chanting Bhagwan's name. If any disturbance, any music or any noise used to come, I used to come out, for instance, traveling in the train. You find dig, 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 dig. So that noise also I have used to convert. Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. So nothing was disturbing me. All the time, everything I used to enjoy, Swami's name. But here again, Swami is telling that Namasmaran is the only way and he had put me off from Namasmaran. So I was listening. Towards the end of the discourse, Swami scolded me. Bad habits. Sit straight. Everybody looked at me. They thought that I am the culprit. Swami is angry with all the teachers because this teacher has made some mistake and Swami uses the flit mechanism. That one mosquito, then everybody will be given the same treatment. So I was sitting in the chair relaxing and listening to Bhagwan's discourse. I thought, what did I do? Why Swami is scolding me? So after the discourse, after Aarti, Swami was distributing prasadam. A boy was bringing a basket of mangoes and Swami was used to enjoy, you know, making us catch one by one mango. But since I was sitting in the back of a hall, audiovisual room, Swami had to walk down and give to the boys or teachers sitting those seats. When my turn came, he personally came and gave me a very big mango. He said, take it. I was again surprised, the biggest mango, which I was not able to hold even with one hand. I had to stretch both the hands and he pressed me. And then he, you know, sort of pressurizing me, pushing my head down to his feet. He said, take namaskar. Again, people were surprised. The Swami scolded him and he gave him the best mango of the prasadam. Mango signifies the ultimate goal in spiritual sadhana. And also, Swami is giving me namaskar. Nobody got, and Swami that too, forcefully asked me to take namaskar. I was myself perplexed that, Swami, what does it mean? Why did you scold me? You told me bad habits. Sit straight. Then throughout night I couldn't sleep. I couldn't interpret what Bhagwan wants to convey to my sadhana. Finally, early morning next day, I got a message from Bhagwan that I have given you a path. You be straight on that path. On path of self-inquiry, I dare to say, which Bhagwan has made me understand, even Nama Sumran is a bad habit. Why? I'll justify this, what happened to me. Whenever I used to follow the path of self-inquiry, inquiring who am I, trying to go within, paying attention to myself, then I used to find it very difficult. And instead, the mind was used to have a Namasmaran, Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. So, mind would go again to the same old habit of chanting name of Bhagwan, which became the obstacle to go within and find out who am I. That's why Swami called it a bad habit and sit straight. Then I understood, oh, even any other sadhana is an obstacle for the sadhana of self-inquiry.
That's amazing. In fact, you are a living testimony to what Swami actually tried to explain to us in the previous discourse. You've actually gone through that. And Swami, that was more or less the central point of Swami's previous discourse. But he concluded the discourse with a very beautiful point. He said, do your duty. Do your duty without, give up the doership.
Give the doership, give up the enjoyership.
Enjoyership.
Yeah.
And do your duty.
But just do your duty.
Excellent. See, once, that's the beauty of self-inquiry. Once you touch yourself, who you are, very soon you'll realize you are not the doer. It is the unmanifest self which manifests in different forms. So, when you are doing your duty with the full concentration, it's like, you know, mind not being allowed to go in future or brood over the past. When you are fully engaged, fully absorbed in the duty assigned to you, then as good as you are putting your car of a spiritual, car on the spiritual path in a neutral gear. It is not wrong to take a pause. Mind remains neutral, pure. The two bad habits of mind are going in the past or thinking about future. So when you are fully absorbed in duty, which you know that Bhagwan has given, and it is for the benefit of the society, selfless service is as good as you are spending time in sadhana. That's why he has said that do your duty. Correct. You cannot escape.
Correct. Very beautiful, sir.
This reminds me,
yes.
When I joined in 1986, way back in 1990, it was 17th of June, it was a Sunday, and Swami called all the teachers. It's a big story prior to that, but I don't want to narrate that. I thought, after these summer course discourses, that I'm wasting my time. Because one of the discourses, I don't know which discourse number, Swami said, 24 hours, you should inquire, who am I? That is a sadhana. Because he had asked me personally also, don't waste your time. You think that you are a chemical engineer, forget about your chemistry and chemical engineering. So then and there, I decided that as soon as I go back from Vrindavan to Parthi, Swami concluded those discourses on 3rd of June 1990. And I came back on 5th of June. The same day, I came and resigned from the job. Before resigning, I got a clue on 3rd of June itself, which was the last dining session with Bhagwan during that summer course. Bhagwan came to the kitchen and I was permitted as usual to do the video shooting of Bhagwan's movements. And in my mind, I said, Swamiji, you are told in the discourse that we are wasting our time. 24 hours I should do sadhana. So I will go resign, and if it is okay with you, give me the indication. Then this was an internal prayer to Bhagavan conversation. And Swami pretended that he is entering the dining hall where we were all supposed to sit and have a meal with Bhagavan during that summer course. Nobody was permitted excepting me, and Swami, of course, he goes before the boys are permitted. He went and saw every nook and corner of dining hall, and then he entered the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an opportunity. I said, Swamiji, if you really permit me to go and resign, give me namaskar.
Mm-hmm.
That was an internal understanding. Swami was going to the kitchen, and I put down my camera and I asked Swamiji, he said, what? He looked into my eyes. I said, Swamiji, can I take namaskar? He said, yes, take it. He lifted his robe and he gave me beautiful namaskar. So I knew that he has given him the permission to go and resign.
Mm-hmm.
I came back on 5th of June 1990, resigned, and my dean was shocked to see, find that I don't want to continue. He said, what? What happened? Let Swamiji come back. Swami was still Vrindavan. Swamiji came back 11th of June back from Vrindavan. He said, let him come. I said, no, I have already got the signal from Bhagavan. So my meter starts. I have already resigned. Whatever the period you need for resignation, for approval of my resignation,
right,
it starts. Then after Swamiji came on 11th June, Swami talked to the registrar of the university and told him, see, semester has just begun and teachers are free, I'm free, teachers are not asking me to talk to them.
Swami
prompted. So the message was conveyed to us that Swami wants to talk to us, but naturally we should pray to Bhagavan. So we did that. And I was not interested because Swami has given me a job of self-inquiry. So whether Swami talks to them or not, I am not concerned. Can I go ahead with this story?
Please, sir.
Because it will take a few minutes more.
No, please, sir, please.
Right. Then on 16th of June, Swami sent a word to the teachers that tomorrow, 17th of June, which was Sunday, teachers will be free. They should sit in the front. But I continued to sit in my normal place. After Swami's darshan in the morning, I closed my eyes. I said, okay, whatever Swami wants to do. I didn't know even that teachers have been, because I thought I have already resigned. Then Swami finished the darshan, came back, teachers were sitting in the front. He said, what? Why? Why are you people sitting here? Swami, please talk to us. Swami said, no classes today. No, Swami, today is Sunday. Swami said, okay, go. Then when I saw all the teachers were going in, you know, my mind played the tricks. He said, mind said that, see, although I've resigned, but my dean has not approved my, accepted my resignation, so I'm still part of the team. So I started walking towards the interview room. And I was the last person. Swami, you know, patted me on the back. He said, lazy, come in, get in. Believe me, I've seen, I've experienced maybe 65, 70 teachers and some of the research scholars in a small interview room, how they were fitted. I can witness, I have witnessed, and I can declare this interview room expands when Swami calls so many people inside.
That's true.
So, and but it was very difficult for even Swami to walk, cut across through the teachers and go and sit his usual chair inside the interview room. I was finding it convenient to just follow Swami. Then Swami sat on the chair. I had no place to sit. Swami got one of the teachers who was sitting next to Swami's chair. Donaputta, you get up and go and sit behind. And he made me sit just right at his lotus feet.
Okay.
Then he said, what are the questions you have? People were quiet. Then in my mind, I said, Swami, what is sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Swami knows that I have resigned. And I have resigned for carrying out sadhana, nothing else. Then Swami looked at me, instead of me asking Swami, Swami asked me, what is sadhana?
Okay.
I did not answer because I wanted to answer from Bhagwan. Mm-hmm. So best way, when he puts a question, you keep quiet. Then Swami started a discourse. He said, sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. What is sadhana? True sadhana is unification of the sadhaka, the sadhyam, and sadhana. The goal of sadhana, the doer of sadhana, and the process of sadhana, they should unify. They should become one. Then, suddenly, Swami looked at me. Those eyes I cannot forget. Can I say in Hindi?
Please.
One sentence Swami said. Then I translate.
Yeah, sure.
Swami looked at me. He said, "Hey, Bhagya, kya sadhana karne ko chata hai?"
My God.
He said, "Hey, Bhagya, what sadhana you want to do?" He was furious, as if he's pouncing on me. So I made some serious mistakes, errors. I got hold of Swami's feet and I said, "Swamiji, I do self-inquiry. And when I teach subjects connected with management courses, my mind gets diverted from Atma. So therefore, he did not allow me to complete sentence because he knew that I have resigned for this purpose, and therefore he was furious to correct me. He said, "Listen, if you think that for sake of sadhana, you will give up the job, you are mistaken. If you divide that this work is worldly and this work is spiritual, even in 1,000 births, I will not give you what you want." I was shocked. I was trembling. I caught hold of Swami's feet. I said, "Swamiji, please forgive me. What sin have I done?" Because in my mind, being a professor of statistics at that time, I immediately calculated that 1,000 births, even if I take every birth as a human being, and on an average I live for 70 years, 70,000 years are over, but still he did not even give me guarantee that I will give you. On the contrary, he said, "I will not give you." 70,000 years gone, and still I will not achieve what I want. I said, "Swamiji, please enlighten me. What do I do?" There he declared, true sadhana is sanctify your time. Sanctify your knowledge. Sanctify whatever you have. True sadhana is control of senses. True sadhana is helping others. See, I have brought all the students from the stage. They were Maharshi Tattvas. All the teachers and students have been Maharshis here. Students are ready to receive. Teachers are ready to give. Apart from your subject knowledge, you must share your experiences with them. The 70% of the discourse or the interview was from setting me right. Then he said, "See, Bhagya, through these students, I am going to cleanse the whole world." Yes. Then my mind, the thought came, "Swami, some of the boys have..." He did not allow me to dwell on that. He said, "Dekho, see, in a gully bag of rice, there'll be few grains. The translator translated as stones. Swamiji said, no, not stone. In a gunny bag of rice, there'll be few grains of paddy.
Oh.
See, Vadya, paddy is also basically rice. Remove the husk and it is rice. So, over the years, these students, when they were Maharishis, over the births, they might have accumulated some dust. It is your duty to remove that dust. You make them good. Set an example for them. Share your experiences of sadhana. Then they'll be happy. They'll be good. I will use them as instrument to cleanse the whole world. I have made you in charge of those students. What other sadhana you want to do? Make them good. It is His grace. Towards end, He said, make them good. Do what I tell you. Then I will give you what you want. Oh, Swami, you saved my 1,000 births, more than 1,000 births. Finally, you have told me that you will give me what I want.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. You have actually gone through it, and so fortunate that you had Swami right in front of you and assuring you that He will give. I think this is an assurance for all devotees.
Exactly.
Very true, because especially this series, Swami is talking in so many levels.
Yeah.
He started about bodily culturing your life, and then control of senses, and then inquiry, intellect. One is likely to be confused to pick, you know, one would think that this is the path for me, that is the path for me, but to have Swami coming and telling you that this is the right thing for you to do, I think that itself is a wonderful lesson, that sincerity is what Swami responds to. Swami has so much mentioned Shraddha in the discourses which you have gone through.
Yeah, Swami has been always giving me the two things, that is bhagya. Bhakti and Gyan, both are required. You can't say that the only Gyan, Bhakti, is not required, or through Bhakti I have reached the goal. No. I am not criticizing. In Bhakti, they lose themselves, they cry and all. Yes, on the path of self-inquiry, it is still, I would say, KG class or maybe primary school.
In fact, just to park the curtain a bit.
Yeah.
Towards the end of this discourse, in fact, Swami makes that very point.
There is no difference.
He makes
that
same
point. To that, yes.
There is no difference between bhakti and jnana. Yeah. So I think we'll start with the discourse.
First clip.
And sir, after listening to you, very keen to listen to what Swami is telling in this discourse, because the discourse, which is the 12th in the series, is actually entitled Self-Knowledge.
Oh.
So let us listen to the first part of this discourse.
Yes.
ఆకాశమలం గాత్రం దైవం తారారవిశసి నేత్రం దైవం ఆకాశమలం గాత్రం దైవం తారారవిశసి నేత్రం దైవం వ్యాపక పవన సతితం దైవం వ్యాపక పవన సతితం దైవం దైవం వ్యాపక పవనశితం దైవం పారావార సతితి దైవం పారావార సతితి దైవం ఆకాశమల గాత్రం దైవం ఆకాశమల గాత్రం దైవం దైవం దైవం
విద్యార్థులారా,
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్,
భగవంతుడు ఆకాశముల కంటే నిర్మలమైనటువంటి వాడు,
God is purer than sky or ether.
Tara Ravi Sesidai Surya Chandra Chatradalu Kudanu Daivam Yokka Netramulu.
Sir, God's sun, moon and stars are the eyes of God.
Vyapaka Pavana Shyamala Daivam. Vayu Vale Sarvatra Vyapinchina 20 Daivam.
Like air, God is all pervasive.
Itti Daivatvani Gurtinchavalanna Manavopadulaina 20 Dehendriya Manobuddhulu yokka Tattvani Chakkaga Gurtinchinappude ee Vishalatvamaina ee Nirmalamaina ee Pavitramaina Atma Tattvam manaku Artham Avutundi.
If you want to realize such God, you have to make use of the instruments such as body, senses, mind and intellect. Then only you will be able to understand God who is so vast, so pure and so sacred.
Chetrajnam chapiman viddi sarva chetreshu bharata. Chetra Chetra Gnayo Jana Yate Jnanam Matam Mama. Prapancha Mantayi Kudanu Chetra Chetra Gnayo Ka Sammilita Swarupam.
The entire world and creation is a combination of the field and the indweller.
Prakriti yokka pratibimbame manavuni sharira kshetram.
Man's physical body is a symbol and representative of the entire creation.
Vishwamanandu ye chetana achetanamu unnavo avanni kudanu manavuni yokka dehamanande imidi unnadi.
All that you find, both conscious and unconscious and inert in the world, are present in the human body.
Ee prapanchamantayi kudanu manavuni yandundinatvanti yokka pratibimbamle, reflection of the inner being.
Whatever you find in this world is a reflection of the inner being.
Aite ఈ శరీరేంద్రియ మనోబుద్ధులను గుర్తించినంత మాత్రమున చాలదు.
ఇఫ్ యూ మియర్లీ రికగ్నైజ్ ది బాడీ, ది సెన్సెస్, ద మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ సఫిషియంట్.
ఈ క్షేత్రమును గుర్తించేటువంటి క్షేత్రజ్ఞుడు ప్రత్యేకంగా ఉంటున్నాడు.
ద నోవర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫీల్డ్ ఈజ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఫీల్డ్.
క్షేత్రజ్ఞుని గుర్తించినప్పుడే క్షేత్రం యొక్క విచారం మనకు అక్కరలేదు. అంతవరకు మాత్రం క్షేత్రాన్ని మనము తగినటువంటి యొక్క రీతిలో అనుభవించుటకు తగిన ప్రయత్నం చేయాలి.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద నోవర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫీల్డ్ యూ బీ ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ కరెక్ట్లీ ద ఫీల్డ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. బట్ అంటిల్ సచ్ టైమ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫార్ టేకింగ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ బాడీ అండ్ ది అదర్ ఎక్విప్మెంట్.
ఈ క్షేత్రజ్ఞుని తెలుసుకోవాలంటే జ్ఞానం కావాలి.
ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు నో దిస్ నోవర్, దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ నాలెడ్జ్. జ్ఞానం
ఏమిటి? ఈ జ్ఞానం,
వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్?
కేవలము బుకిష్ నాలెడ్జ్ కాదు.
ఈజ్ ఇట్ బుకిష్ నాలెడ్జ్? నో, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్.
సూపర్ఫిషియల్ నాలెడ్జ్ కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ సూపర్ఫిషియల్ నాలెడ్జ్.
జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్ అసలే కాదు.
నాట్ ఈవెన్ జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్.
డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇది వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటిది.
డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు ద ఇండివిజువల్స్.
ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్ అనుకుంటే ప్రాక్టికల్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఇది కూడాను ఒక వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటి యొక్క హద్దులతో ఇమిడి ఉంటున్నది.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యు టేక్ ద ఎక్స్పీరియన్షియల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆర్ ప్రాక్టికల్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ఇండివిజువల్.
ఇవన్నీ కూడాను కేవలము భౌతికమైన లౌకికమైన జ్ఞానములు.
ఆల్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ రిలేట్స్ టు ద ఫిజికల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్.
వస్తు విచారణ చేత గుర్తింపబడేటువంటి యొక్క జ్ఞానము ఇది, పదార్థ జ్ఞానము.
బై ఎన్క్వైరింగ్ ఇన్ టు ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ యూ బి ఏబుల్ టు జస్ట్ గెట్ ద అదర్ రిక్వైర్డ్ నాలెడ్జ్.
విషయమును ఆధారము చేసుకుని దాని యొక్క విశిష్టతను గుర్తించేటువంటి యొక్క జ్ఞానమా ఇది? కేవలము ఇది కూడాను ఒక విషయ జ్ఞానమే.
నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విచ్ ఇస్ బేస్డ్ అపాన్ ది స్పెషల్ ఫీచర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క జ్ఞానముల చేత దివ్యత్వమైనటువంటి ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని ఎవ్వరు కూడాను గుర్తించలేరు.
బై ఆల్ దీస్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ యుడ్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఈస్ బేసికలీ డివైన్.
వజ్రమును కోయవరనంటే వజ్రమే కావాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు కట్ ఎ డైమండ్ యూ షుడ్ యూజ్ అనదర్ డైమండ్ అలోన్.
కాలులో విరిగిన ముళ్ళును తీవాలంటే ముళ్ళే కావాలి.
టు రిమూవ్ ఎ థార్న్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఫుట్ యూ హావ్ టు యూజ్ అనదర్ థార్న్.
ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని గుర్తించాలంటే ఆత్మజ్ఞానమే కావాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు రియలీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ యూ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ.
ఈనాడు మనము భౌతికమైనటువంటి ఈ ప్రపంచమునందు దేనిని జ్ఞానమని మనం భావిస్తున్నామో అది అంత అజ్ఞానమే.
ఇన్ దిస్ ఫిజికల్ వరల్డ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వి థింక్ ఈజ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈజ్ రియలీ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్.
ఆత్మజ్ఞానమే సత్య జ్ఞానం.
ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ అలోన్ ఈజ్ ట్రూ నాలెడ్జ్.
ఆత్మ అన్న జ్ఞానమన్న రెండు ఒక్కటే.
ఆత్మ అండ్ జ్ఞానం నాలెడ్జ్ దే ఆర్ సినోనిమస్.
నిజమైనటువంటి ఎరుకనే జ్ఞానం.
రియల్ అవేర్నెస్ ఈజ్ నాలెడ్జ్.
పదార్థమును క్రోడీకరించుకొని విషయాలను సంగ్రహించుకొని తద్వారా తెలుసుకునేటువంటి జ్ఞానము ఇది కేవలము అజ్ఞానంతో సమానం.
నాలెడ్జ్ అక్వైర్డ్ ఆన్ ది అక్యుములేషన్ ఆఫ్ వేరియస్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ వేరియస్ ఐడియాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్.
సో దట్ వాజ్ ద క్లిప్ విచ్ స్వామి స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ అండ్ హీ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఆల్ ద other knowledges that we know of except the knowledge which we would like to know.
You know, it's so interesting. Here is the beginning of an academic year in a university, you know, where you have students who have enrolled for BSc and BAs and MBAs and all these professional and arts courses, and here is Swami giving a discourse such as this, that all the knowledge which you're going to acquire through the course of this year and the years to follow in your university studies, they're all useless.
In fact,
yes, sir.
Yeah, in 1987, 15th of June, I remember there used to be no summer courses, but Swami would allow us to start the academic year by his discourse. So in that discourse, Swami said, "You think that I have started this university just to give you the physical knowledge of various fields?" He said, no. Yes, the economics, science, chemistry, physics, and even management, these are the branches of the knowledge. But the root of all the knowledge is a trunk, and the root is the knowledge of Atma, the self-awareness. Now, for that, Swami said, you need basically in this university, I have started to give you to impart two things to you, the common sense and general knowledge. So I was thinking that it's very simple for that, Swamiji, university is not required. Then Swamiji gave an example. He said when
people join the army, whatever position a person joins, maybe a doctor, engineer, or a sipahi, mm-hmm. that is a soldier, or a barber, or a driver, two things are taught to them.
Mm-hmm.
One is march pass. And second is shooting. They should know how to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, similarly, I have started this university. Fundamental knowledge will be two, common sense and general knowledge. He says, when on further inquiry, subsequently, with Bhagwan directly in an interview room, Swami said, common sense is to know what one should do, when, how, where, and in what manner. That is your common sense. On inquiring Swami, how do we acquire common sense? He said, if you do a certain thing repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a natural part of you, and it becomes a common sense. For instance, he said, when you learn driving initially, you are very careful, but when you learn repeatedly, you drive, then while driving, you can talk, you can eat, you can cut joke. So it becomes very easy for you what to do while driving, and including with co-passengers.
Mm.
Then another thing, general knowledge, he said, is again, the general knowledge is not the knowledge of finding out what is happening in USA or Japan or India or America, nothing. Knowledge of the self is the general knowledge.
Oh,
that is general, that is common. As in army, it is a general knowledge given to them.
Mm.
This is the knowledge of the Atma. The true Vidya is only knowledge of Atma, self-knowledge.
For me, it sounds rather the other way around. The fundamental knowledge is... what are the two you said, sir?
Common sense and general knowledge.
Common sense. Common sense is just regular activity, and general knowledge is knowledge of the Atma.
Yes.
Oh,
that's what he said.
Beautiful.
In fact, if you permit me, I'll share a very, very significant question which Bhagwan prompted me to ask way back in 97 after I joined in an interview. Something clicked in my mind. A lot of VIPs, and we were also, my family, in an interview. Swami had almost finished the interview, attending individuals and solving their problems. Then Swami said, any questions? In general, hardly there were about 25, 30 people. Then Swamiji looked at me. I said, Swamiji, I have one question. He said, what? I said, Swamiji, we all know that you are avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar is with us. I want to know from avatar how to make use of avatar.
Beautiful.
Swami stared at me and did not give me the answer immediately. The interview was almost over. Swami lifted the bag of vibhuti packets himself, and he was giving a handful of vibhuti to each one of us. When my turn came, very big bunch of vibhuti packets he, you know, forced on my hand, and he made two statements, two sentences he gave me. He said, love. Love is God. God is love. Live in love. And second point, he said, aham karam. Aham plus akar. Aham, I, is constant. Akar, the form, keeps changing. He left it there. It took me several years to decipher and understand directly what Swami gave. This I consider the best thing which I could learn from avatar. And really, beyond that, rest, other things he came to give us because we wanted that. But he said, I have come to give you what I want to give you so that initially I give you what you want, so that you ask me what I have come to give you. He had come to give us only the knowledge of self, but through love.
Very beautiful, sir. According to you, what is love, sir?
Wonderful. Can I take a few moments?
Please.
Once in an interview with MBA students, this question was put to Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami himself said, love is not just through lips, it's not lip service. Hi darling, hi sweetheart, hi my dear one. This is just artificial, superficial.
Mm.
Then in the air, with his two forefingers, hands, he showed a sign of a triangle.
Okay.
He said divine love has three dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
We were very keen to know from Bhagwan.
Mm.
He said one apex represents love is selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Divine love will always give and give. Never take.
Mm-hmm.
Never even expect anything in return. That is one aspect of divine love. Second corner of divine love is changeless.
Oh.
The divine love will be constant.
Mm-hmm.
It will not depend upon your position, the time, your richness, your financial condition, or your position in the society. It's always same.
Hmm.
Third apex of the triangle, he said, divine love is fearless.
Wow.
When you love a person, you're not scared of anyone.
Hmm.
Based on that, maybe now or next time, I can give solid examples what Bhagwan gave of the selflessness, changelessness, and fearlessness.
Beautiful, sir.
That
beautiful.
Constitute the divine love.
Wonderful. I think we should, when we have more time, because otherwise we'll be hurrying through it.
Correct.
And definitely, because it's a lovely way of putting it, you know, Swami, explaining these three things. Because this has, in fact, been told many times, even in the series of discourses we've gone through, about fearlessness.
Correct.
That was one big section where Swami spoke about abhayam.
Hmm.
And definitely, I think, sir, we should go through that.
We should go through each of these in good detail.
Yeah, I will give some examples where I have observed Swami, and he made me understand what is. Of course, it's very easy to think that changeless or selfless, changeless and fearless. Especially the changeless and fearless. Beautiful examples, because of the time constraint, it will require a few minutes. So maybe some other occasion we can
next develop. Next week, sir, please.
Okay.
Next week, we would really like to go into that.
Wonderful. Yeah, we'll do that. And some more things when...
Definitely, sir. So I think that section on knowledge, I think all these are the aspects of Atma Vidya.
That's right.
And as you rightly said, this is what Swami has come to give us.
Absolutely.
Really, in fact, just the three aspects which you said, sir, they could be well said as the description of the Atman.
Yes.
Or the one who has realized his true self.
Yeah, one person, you understand what you are.
You're fearless.
You are fearless and you'll pour out only love and love and love. Because nobody is different. Nobody is other. Everything is you.
Right.
So how can you cheat anybody? How can you be angry with anybody? How can you deceive anyone? How can you misguide anyone? How can you take undue advantage of another person? Because there's no others. So beautiful. And still, in one, though I was so ignorant, even now also we are ignorant in front of Bhagwan and ultimate goal point of view, very first question which I asked in an interview, that what is avatar here come for? And how do I make use of avatar? He's with us, okay, asking for trivial things. I want this job, I want the materialization, I want a problem to be solved about my family and all. These are just trivial things. He had come to give us so deep knowledge, more you understand, more you still feel that no, I have not yet gone through what He has come to give us. I have not acquired fully. That's the beauty of avatar. And yet, when He talks to us, as a child, as the individual students, a teacher, you will feel, you will be able to see that He is nothing but me. The only entity which is common for all the living beings, including human beings or animals or birds, is Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba.
In fact, one Swami had was telling somebody, why ask me for things which you can get by your own effort? What you can put a little few years of effort and get it, why do you come and ask me? Ask me only that which only I can give.
Yes, very true.
So I think we'll conclude this episode with this. We are come to the end of this program. But I'm sure this discourse is going to get deeper and deeper as we go through. Because even in the very first part, Swami has given a glimpse of what is going to come in this discourse. And as we requested you, sir, we do hope to have you next week too in this discourse.
Whatever is with me, I don't mind sharing with you. And provided my, only thing is that when we dwell on these things, we should be serious.
Right.
It is not just a pastime.
Correct.
That once in a week we discuss something and forget about it. And then, as Bhagwan said, even in thousand births, nothing, millions of births, we'll just be spending, coming again. Because with Bhagwan, it is never a failure. When we go out from His university or from His time period which He has given, He will never detain anyone. He will always give one degree, a degree of CA, not chartered accountant, not cost accountant. He will say, come again. For him, there is never too late. You keep coming again.
I think we should say, in that sense, we are a little luckier than you, because our job and our profession takes us to listening to Swami and doing mananam. And
truly,
that this is true mananam, what we did today. Shravanam,
yes,
mananam.
Yes.
Only Nididhyasanam is left for us to follow.
It will follow. Because
one thing is to listen to the discourses. But the other thing is to listen to somebody who has gone through these discourses and had felt a wonderful impact on yourself, and to listen about these discourses from you. It was wonderful, sir. And we definitely hope to have you next week too.
Thank you so much.
So dear listeners, on all of your behalf, I thank Bhagya sir for being with us, and extend the invitation for next week too. We offer this humble effort of ours at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and with immense gratitude, thank Him for giving us this opportunity. In a very short while from now, Bishu will be here for the last segment of the day outside, inside, deep inside, where he's going to assure the Shivratri season. He's coming here with his special program on the Shiva Tattva. That'll be in a short while from now. Thank you. We join you again next week, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday Live.